I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
An insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch, presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, with Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Woman Crush Wednesday. Ravens back on the practice field coming up in about 25 minutes or so. As soon as we get an attendance report, we'll share it with you. Lamar didn't practice Monday. Will he be there today? We're all going to wait to find out together, but get back to the film breakdown as the Ravens lose to the Chiefs. Let's get to that secondary and other defensive analysis here.
Yeah, we just finished Simpson, who I thought played really well in pass and run. But in the run stuff, he was chasing, he was making plays, and he was fitting in there. I really liked what I saw watching him on film. Now, the secondary, that seemed where there was a lot of the communication issues. And what Harb said was they were having a lot of different groupings, you know, nickel group, dime group, and all that. So, and most of that is all your DBs. And so there was plenty of miscues there, because you, whenever you see guys looking at each other and, like, got their hands up, like, the hell was that? You know, and that's what did Marlon do after he got beat? They're playing a cover two, it's supposed to be. He's playing a rolled-up corner. The other side's a rolled-up corner. And the safety to Stevens' side, he rotated back, but there was no safety to go back, so something was totally screwed up. There was no – Marcus Williams was on the other side, and Kyle Hamilton was up on a line of scrimmage, so I don't know who screwed up. But somebody definitely screwed up, because you got a receiver running wide open. And it just seemed like, and even Harb said it after, there was a lot of communication issues, crowd noise. You work on it all week about crowd noise.
Yeah, he also said substitution patterns were a little out of whack there.
But here's the thing, Bob. When the offense is on the field, okay, what's Patrick Mahomes telling the crowd?
Shut up.
Right. So there was really no noise.
Yeah.
All right. let's break let's break down the secondary. Now, Marlon Humphrey did a lot on the inside. He played a lot on the inside, too. I thought he played a lot on the inside. Now, Wiggins and Armour Davis, they kind of popped in. They didn't do a lot, but you never heard. Like I think you said to me, I said, I never heard his name. As a corner, it's a good thing, unless you're intercepting the ball. And there was really no opportunities to intercept. But both those guys got a taste, which was good. And I think they'll eventually keep playing more and more. Now, our Darius Washington, he made a play in the end zone. I think he only got 5 snaps. But he made a hell of a play in the end zone and knocked the ball away to save a touchdown. So, I mean, and that's what he does. I mean, he's a shorter guy, but he can play the ball. He's a ball hawk back there. Brandon Stevens. Here's the thing with Stevens. I think Stevens' best and what makes him the most effective is when he's playing press. I think he's a press corner. He does good there. When he's playing off coverage, I don't think he's as productive as he is. Because at press, he's right up on the guy and he's physical with him. And when he was playing off, you know, he gave him some separation on the crossing routes and stuff. That's kind of what I saw with him. Marcus Williams, he didn't really have many opportunities. I mean, he came up and made a couple tackles, but I didn't really see him have to do a lot. They never threw deep. You know, they were throwing in the slot area most of the time. Now, Eddie Jackson, I thought Eddie Jackson played well. I thought Eddie Jackson's a good player because he's smart and instinctive in there too. I think he's... He does a good job, and he was the one that was back on the one that went for the touchdown with Stevens. So he was right. Whoever, you know, it's either Marcus Williams or it's Kyle Hamilton, one of the two.
Sure.
Now, I saved Kyle Hamilton for last. Kyle Hamilton, I mean, when I watched the game from the year before, the NFC Championship game, Kyle Hamilton was the best player on the field. I mean, that first half, it wasn't even close. Flying around, lining up everywhere, tackling everybody, aggressive, batting balls down, doing everything. And in this game, he looked slow, lunged and missed a ton of tackles. It looked like he was looked like he wasn't playing as fast. For some reason, I don't know. They didn't have him blitzing. They didn't have him playing like he did last year. I don't, on the worthy one, he got pancaked.
Yep.
Couldn't get off the block. I don't know what it was with Kyle Hamilton, but that's the worst I've seen him play in a long time. I didn't think he played well, and he missed way too many tackles. He was lunging and stuff. But it was extremely disappointing watching him and Roquan, because those two in the game before, Roquan had 19 tackles and Hamilton was everywhere. So I don't know, and I expect both of them. And even Roquan said after the game, I sucked. So I would expect both of those guys to really step it up. And let's talk about one more guy, Bob, Justin Tucker. Because, I mean, he got that 50-yard opportunity, 53, and missed it. And last year was 1 of 5 from 50, and the only one he made was 50. So, all right, you know, and I thought he kicked extremely well in training camp, made some over 50, and I talked about it, and then gets his first opportunity. Now Harbs may go, maybe we may see 1 of 5. We may only see 5 this year, maybe less. I don't know, because when you miss your first one, if he makes that one, that would have been huge.
Yeah, drifted left, it seems, yep, to be the normal, yep, trend for, yep, him, too.
So that one's, I just don't know about the over 50s.
Let me ask you this. The distance is still there. It's not like they're falling 10 yards short, but they're starting to drift one way or another. Is that because the leg strength isn't what it used to? Because when he used to boom them right down the middle from 50 yards.
He was like Boswell. If you watch the Pittsburgh game or the Dallas game, I mean, that dude just airmails him.
Yeah, but is that because, not saying he's washed up or they're going to need a new kicker, but he's now, it's what, 13th year in, yeah, the league? Is this part of, all right, he can still kick it far, it just doesn't go as straight from distance because the velocity's not what it used to, yeah, be coming off the
I'd foot. Have to ask special teams coach, yeah, what they think, Bob, but there's, I mean, every, for the last few years, Bob, over 50 hadn't been great, you know, and he's not getting younger. He's still very good inside of 50, but once it gets 50-plus, and Bob, how many field goals, like, it was like historic how many field goals were made over 50 yards in the first week of the season.
Overall accuracy of the kickers was over, what, 92%? Give you an idea about Justin Tucker here. Just 2 years ago, 2022, he was 9 for 14. From 50-plus, because, you know, Lamar got hurt in the offense. We got to get points however we can get them. And as you said, he was 1 for 5 last year, 0 for 1 this year. 2021, he was 6 for 6. 2020, 3 for 5. In 19, he only attempted 1 for 50-plus because they were scored a bunch of touchdowns.
That's true. So I don't know. You know what's going to be interesting, Bob, is like Harb's going to say, let's go for it. You know, because if he's missing it, we lose 8 more yards because it's where the ball is,
sure,
placed. So let's go for it. And I could see possibly that happening. And maybe if they're ahead, but it may not be, Bob, in a critical situation. Maybe an end of the half type thing where you got nothing to lose. Or kind of like with Kimbrell, when you're way ahead.
Yeah.
You know, you give him an opportunity.
Still 90% for his career, but Justin Tucker by no means is a major area of concern. But to Vinny's point, is John Harbaugh going to be quick to, because Tucker runs out on the field assuming he's getting that opportunity.
Yeah.
Maybe Harbs, he'll be like, hey, Get back
We're
over
going
here.
For
We're
it.
We're going for it. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll look ahead to week two of the NFL season with Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com, when we come back. Starts tomorrow, by the way, with Buffalo at Miami. And then it's the American League East Report. We have a game in progress, not in the division. Pittsburgh's up 3-0 on the Marlins, but Orioles gained a game last night. We'll tell you what happened there. And then a funhouse trip, Nolan McGraw, before Inside Access takes over.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Over to.
Until the Gold Club opens.
Make it rain.
Vinny and Haney.
Better grab an umbrella.
1057 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 1057 The Fan. Woman Crush Wednesday. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato. American League East Report coming up. A few minutes. Orioles half game out of first because the Yankees lost and the Birds won. We'll get into the other scores of playoff importance as we're in the final couple weeks of the regular season Major League Baseball, but we're 1 week into the NFL's regular season, and here to talk about week one, look ahead to week two, Dolphins, Bills tomorrow. Dolphins might not have any running backs for this matchup, but from CBSSports.com, he's our friend. He's Ryan Wilson. Ryan, what's up?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How's it going?
It's all going right, all right. Ryan. And since we just played Olivia Newton-John, I think it's appropriate because we're getting physical and watching the Steelers and Falcons this past Sunday. I thought that was Mel Blunt, Jack Ham, and Mean Joe Green running around making Kirk Cousins pee down his leg in that one. Is this an indication, Ryan Wilson, of how good this Steelers defense, health permitting, of course, can be here in 2024?
I just told producer Nolan that the offense the Steelers played set the passing game back about 100 years. But on defense, to your point, T.J. Watt was getting after it. And Kirk Cousins doesn't look 100% healthy. They weren't moving around very much, and he took a beating back there. There was not much in the way of play action. I think they had him in pistol or shotgun on every single snap. And T.J. Watt just pinned his ears back and teed off on him. I mean, I don't know what the plan is for the Falcons offense going forward, but it has to be better than what that looks like. But in terms of what this means for Pittsburgh, I think you're going to see old school Steelers football on both sides. You're going to run the ball a lot. I don't know if they're that much hurry to get Russ Wilson back out there, because you can, as long as Justin doesn't turn the ball over, and he didn't do that last weekend, you can run that sort of old school, high school running game offense and lean on your athletic quarterback and then just let the defense carry you over the finish line. And this week they're in Denver, and you know, there's the Russ Wilson revenge game, but the best game that Justin Fields has ever had in his NFL career came last year against the Broncos. He threw for 335 yards and four touchdowns, and Bo Nix is a rookie quarterback. So I think that Tomlin isn't in a hurry necessarily to change things up offensively, especially if Russ isn't 100%.
Now, Ryan, we stay in the division, and we'll talk about Cleveland and Cincinnati in particular. Both lose at home. Both were favored, and Cleveland got spanked. Bengals were flat and, I don't want to say uninspired, just couldn't get that offense generated. Which situation there long-term could be more dire if either one has a dire situation?
Browns are dire. Browns were dire before the season started. I remain confused why people thought this was going to be different than any other season, and then things just keep getting worse with Deshaun Watson off the field. So we'll see what happens there. But on the field, he was probably the worst player on the field, and people complain about the lack of health on the offensive line, and I understand that. But you guys know a guy named Joe Flacco who literally got off his couch and went over there and helped that team get to the playoffs during the last month of the season. He was slinging it all over the yard. Deshaun Watson looked like someone who had been playing football for about 2 weeks in terms of his ability to push the ball down the field. So even if you put aside the off-field issues, and those aren't going anywhere, the salary cap implications for this team, and when and if they move on from Deshaun, are going to be crippling. And I don't mean crippling for a year or two. It could be 3-4 years down the line before they get back to where they need to be. So I have yet to see a silver lining to signing Deshaun Watson. And the main outline has been hard to watch as well. It's been a complete and utter disaster. I don't know how you could pay it any other way.
Hey, Ryan, who do you think is worse, the Giants or Carolina?
As my buddy Rick Spielman put it, it looked like that Saints-Panthers game was the varsity playing the JV homecoming squad out there. It was 30-3, I believe, at halftime.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I understand that the roster lacks talent and the defense is somehow worse than it was a year ago because you moved on from Brian Burns and other guys. But offensively, there was nothing you looked at and felt good about. And you weren't playing the 2007 Patriots. You're playing a Saints team that was a little above average last year. And, you know, maybe they have a chance to win the division this year. We'll find out, but not in a great division. And they whooped up on it from start to finish. The Giants stuff, we sort of knew. We knew that team had no faith in Daniel Jones because we kept hearing about it in the offseason, watching Hard Knocks in terms of how they wanted to upgrade the quarterback position. So I wasn't surprised that the Giants lost that game, but the Panthers came out and rolled over basically before the first kickoff. And this is a tough one to bounce back from when you have 16 more games to go.
Hey, Ryan, I would imagine, and you, I'll ask you what you think. The rookie quarterbacks, they all struggled in the opener. I think they'll all be much better week two.
Yep, that's right. And I think they all graded out. I mean, if we're giving grades, they're all about C-minuses for different reasons. Caleb didn't eclipse 100 yards. Jaden Daniels did most of the damage with his legs, and he looked good doing it, but he looked like he was playing really fast. And by that, I meant he just got off his first read and started trucking it. And then Bo Nix, I would ask you, why are we throwing the ball 42 times if you're in a tight game on the road in Seattle and you have a good defense? Why are we asking Bo Nix to throw the ball 42 times? He had the two interceptions. Had a couple good throws in there, but I think your bigger point, Vinny, is that these guys will get better. I question the decisions of the coaching staff, especially in Denver, in terms of what they did to Bo Nix, but I think there are opportunities for these guys to all be good. And if you're asking me who I'm worried the most about, maybe Bo Nix, just because the team is not as good. But I think Jaden and Caleb are going to be really good and really good pretty soon.
Now, what did you think of the kickoff?
I liked it. I didn't know what to expect in the preseason, and it felt like special teams coaches were keeping things under wraps. And then I thought there was some excitement added. I think we had one touchdown return, if I recall. So something a little different, a little more strategy, and if it's for safety, I'm for that too. So, yeah, positive first week, I felt like.
Hey, Ryan, I don't know what you thought, you know, about Thursday's game. I thought Kansas City is better than they were last year. And you know what? For the Ravens, I thought the Ravens defense didn't play well, especially, you know, their stars. But overall, I think the Ravens are going to be okay too, because I really like watching Kansas City.
Yeah, I think you're right about Kansas City, that wide receiver room. When they get Hollywood Brown back, That's one more weapon. We saw what Xavier Worthy did on the end of round. And then I still haven't heard who messed up on the second touchdown to Xavier Worthy, whether it was Marlon or whether it was Kyle or someone else. But obviously there's a blown coverage there. That can't happen. But all told, Lamar looked great. We heard about skinny Lamar for three straight hours, so he slimmed down. Derrick Henry wasn't used as much as perhaps people would like, and I understand that. And they got to figure out the offensive line and get some continuity there, because there's some young players and some injured players, and I get that as well. But I think all that taken into consideration, they still had a chance to win that game. So I think you feel good about that coming out of it.
Ryan, the biggest disappointment first weekend, which team?
I think the place to start is with what were the Bengals doing? You lose a home to the Patriots, and not only the Patriots, but there's no rookie quarterback out there. Number three overall pick is Jacoby Brissett, who's good, but you know, you're not hanging your hat on that. So I think that was a big disappointment. Other than that, I think the way the Browns played was even disappointing by Browns standards, and I guess you could say the Jets and Aaron Rodgers coming out and sort of falling flat, not because of Aaron Rodgers, but incidentally because of the defense, which everyone thought would be pretty good. But the number one for me is the Bengals, who are supposed to be a team making a run at Kansas City, laying down and just repeatedly getting run over by the steamroller that were the New England Patriots.
Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Week two of the NFL season starts tomorrow night. Buffalo at Miami. It looks like right now on Wednesday, the Dolphins might have some problems with healthy running backs. I think Josh Allen's going to win MVP, not that no one asked. Keep in mind, I'm usually wrong. But what do you think about tomorrow's matchup? And then New Orleans at Dallas. Are we putting Derek Carr in the Hall of Fame based on his performance against Carolina, as we talked about earlier?
If Dallas dresses up in Carolina Panthers uniforms, absolutely. Otherwise, it might be tough sledding. Dak looked pretty good, and they started their rookie left tackle, Tyler Guyton-Hung, in there against Myles Garrett. So that's encouraging. in terms of what it means for the Bills and the Dolphins, Josh Jacobs was the only running back on the roster in that Green Bay game when they played in Brazil, and he held his own. They have some options in Miami. They have Jeff Wilson. They have Jalen Wright, the burner out of Tennessee, who was a healthy scratch last week. So he'll get an opportunity as well, and they have so many guys running 4-2s. I'm not too concerned about that. But I don't think you're wrong. The way that Josh Allen puts this team on his back every single week, every single year, and the toughness with which he plays, he's going to make a legit case for the MVP. They just got to start winning the playoff games.
Ryan Wilson, what's happening at CBSSports.com heading into week two of the NFL season?
Oh, you guys will love this. Me and Spielman, who I mentioned to our With the First Pick Draft podcast, tomorrow's episode, our very first mock draft of the fall, guys.
So look to that. Yeah, can't wait to talk about the mock draft for the next
quarterbacks are dropping.
There we go. Yeah. 1 week in. Who's your Heisman favorite? Go bleep yourself. We still got 3 months to go. Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com. Enjoy the rest of your Woman Crush Wednesday. We'll talk to you next
Thanks,
week.
Thanks, Ryan.
Thank you, guys.
There he is, Ryan Wilson, everybody. It's Vinny at 81057. The Fan will come back. American League East report. There's a game going on right now. I'll give you the score. It doesn't affect the Orioles or the playoffs at all, but still give you the score update as it is. Orioles in Boston tonight. Got Baltimore baseball tonight, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts, coming up at 6 as Tim Barbalace and Jim Hunter get you ready for action. Dean Kramer looking to back up that outstanding performance last week against the Red Sox and trying to win the series.
Yankees, Boston, Toronto,
the Rays.
A closer look at the AL East. AL East. Vinny and Haney.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Time for the American League East report and beyond. The final couple weeks of the Major League Baseball season of 2024. Regular season, that is. Orioles win last night, 5-3. Cedric Mullins goes deep twice on the one-year anniversary of him hitting a grand slam against the St. Louis Cardinals. Adley Rutschman, two ribbies, bases loaded, single to left field as the Orioles even the series with the Red Sox at one apiece. Remember, Baltimore got blown out two nights ago in an ugly performance against the Red Sox. Albert Suarez, unsung hero, comeback player of the year nominee, I would think, in the American League. 6 innings pitched, 4 hits, only a run, 2 walks, 8 Ks. As he got that 90-plus mile on a high 90s fastball, painting them corners a little bit. Bullpen made it interesting to some level, but Dominguez comes in, picks up the save. Tying run was at the plate, but Orioles get out of it. Gunnar Henderson, 2 runs scored. Now back at the top of the lineup where he's getting on base, and he's making his legs do the walking. Get it? I don't know, whatever. On the base pass, he's getting on, he's making it, et cetera, et cetera. I don't need to explain it for you, do I? But anyway, the power numbers are certainly there. We were talking last hour, Rich Dubroff. Got to get somebody rolling here with the production. O'Hearn, Adley, who can it be? Mountcastle doesn't look like he's coming back anytime soon. Same with Jordan Westberg. So somebody that's in that lineup on a semi-regular basis has to start providing some pop here.
Like O'Hearn, Bob, was the guy early in the – O'Hearn was like, damn, he got another hit, another RBI. Now he doesn't – I can't remember the last time I watched him get a hit.
Yeah, well, he's getting hits. He's just not driving the ball. And maybe, as Rich said, when he was platooning more or less with Mountie,
yeah,
and the at-bats were, you know, limited to some level, he was more productive. But somebody's got to step up. Orioles going for the series win tonight. Birds are 83-63 on the year, 41-30 on the road. Dean Kramer, 7-9, 7 and a strong 9er with a 4.27 earned run average. He was throwing a no-hitter into the seventh inning in his last start as he came back from getting drilled with a line drive. Just think about 2 starts ago, he had the welt the side of a softball on his pitching arm, and here he is trying to win the series for the Orioles. For the Red Sox, 73-72 on the year, 34-40 at home. Nick Pivetta, 5-10 with a 4.38, giving up 26 homers on the season. 7-10 first pitch. Orioles trying to win the series. Then they're off tomorrow, off to Detroit, taking on the Tigers, who are making a late push for some wild card consideration for sure. Maybe they're like the Orioles were 2 years ago. Young team, finally hitting its stride, and look out for Detroit in 2025, but the Orioles have to look out for them 6 times in the final 2 weeks of the season. But elsewhere in the American League's Eastern Division last night, Yankee Stadium, old Tommy Pham, he's bounced around this year, and last night he landed in the right place for Oriole fans and for Royals fans.
Tommy Pham, deep into left field and gone for his second home run as a Royal.
Well, don't mess with Tommy Pham.
Fastball right by him. And Lugo, first time through the order, strikes out four.
Lugo, 10 Ks, Tommy Pham, 2-for-5 with a homer, as the Royals shut out the Yankees 5-0 with the win. Helps the Orioles' cause. So the Birds heading into tonight's action, only a half game out of first place. Philadelphia taking on Tampa. Remember, the Rays just took 2 out of 3 from the Orioles, but the Phillies, they'll have none of that.
Fly ball, left field, well hit. Carlson back, and exclamation point! Two-run home run for Turner. It's his second homer of the night.
NBC Philly on the call, 9-4. Phillies over the Rays. Trey Turner, as you heard, 2 home runs last night. There was some benches clearing stuff as Nick Castellanos got plunked. Bryce Harper was coming in there flanking style, looking to get some things rolling there. But the Phillies, they maintain their advantage in the National League's Eastern Division. We'll get to the standings here in a second. And Toronto, they slowed down the Mets a little bit last night.
Fly ball right center field, pretty well hit. Back goes Nimmo to the warning track at the wall. It's off the fence. In to score is Kirk. Clement right behind him. Heading for third is Schneider. He's got a 2-run triple. And the Blue Jays have a 4-1 lead.
SNY on the call, 6-2. Final score, David Schneider, 2 ribbies there, as Toronto slows down New York's momentum there just a little bit. Now, today's games, we got the Pirates 3-0 over the Marlins. Connor Norby's at the plate as we speak, I believe. O'Connor having a nice little run there.
Yeah, he is.
For the Marlins. Kyle Stowers had a couple of doubles for the Marlins against the Pirates yesterday. But it's 3-0 Pittsburgh today. Cleveland trying to hold off Kansas City and Minnesota in the Central. They're taking on the White Sox in Chicago at 2:10. Mets and Blue Jays, another game there coming up at 3:07. Diamondbacks heading to the wild card, taking on the defending world champion Rangers, who probably aren't going to make the postseason, but who knows? The crazy things have happened. Tigers, who the Orioles will see starting tomorrow, Friday, I should say. They are hosting the Rockies tonight. Rays at Phillies again. Braves at the Nats coming up at 6:40. Royals and Yankees coming up again at 7:05 in the Bronx. Luis Gil against Cole Reagans. Two guys that might deserve some Cy Young consideration, even though Tarek Skubal's probably going to get it. Angels at the Twinkies coming up at 7:10. You got the Reds and the Cardinals, two teams that are probably out of it. And the Astros at first place in the West host the A's. Padres at the Mariners. Manny Machado went deep. All-time home run hitter in the history of the Padres franchise. Mariners in trouble. They put Luis Castillo on the IL. Brujas at the Giants. Cubbies at the Dodgers. Standings. Division-wise, Orioles half game behind the Yankees in the East. Cleveland 3.5 up on Kansas City in the Central. 4.5 separates the Astros from the Mariners. It's 8 games separating the Phillies over the Mets and the Bravos there. 8.5 Brewers over the Cubbies. At 4.5, it's the Dodgers over the Padres. If the playoffs started today, Vinny, which they don't, Orioles, Royals, Twins would be your wild cards. Tigers 3 games back of the last wild card spot, and the Padres, Diamondbacks, and the Mets and Braves are tied, identical records. So 4 teams fighting for 3 spots there.
So if they were today, the Orioles would play who? The Twins?
They would play the Royals.
Oh, ooh. Okay.
The top 2 wild cards there, and I'll explain the playoff scenarios many times, of course, over the next few weeks. That's your baseball news here on this Woman Crush Wednesday. We'll come back, take a trip through the funhouse. Nolan McGraw will give you the NFL schedule for week 2, and then Inside Access takes over at 2 o'clock here on this lovely day in Baltimore. It's 105.7 The Fan.
Bob, the thing about it is Arizona scored a lot of points at Buffalo.
Oh, they had him. Had him reeling, but you know, Josh Allen did Josh Allen stuff, and they found a way to get that win. Miami had to come from behind at home against the Jags. I'm off tomorrow. Cordell Woodland's going to be in for me as I'm back at the eye doctor again. Hopefully, we're winding that one down. But I'm taking the Bills as we get the picks off for week number 2 here.
I'll be against you then
because it's 87 and nice weather there. Well, Thursday night football.
A brief look at the history, or at least recent history,
Bills and Dolphins. Dolphins have only beat the Bills twice in the Josh Allen era. I'm a little surprised to hear that.
And it's going to remain that way.
But they are the home team on a short week. Sometimes that counts for something.
Saints at Cowboys.
This could be an interesting game. Maybe not. Remember, Ravens go there in 2 weeks.
Yeah. Well, Carr likes to hold the ball, Bob. You know, that'll be interesting to see. I kind of liking could be a puffy pantser.
Yeah, Dallas -6.5. Tampa and Detroit. This is going to be a fun game, rematch of last year's playoff game. Lions -7. Baker Mayfield coming off a 4-touchdown performance against the Commanders.
And Stafford threw for, what, over 300 against Detroit?
Yes, he did. No Puka Nacua, though. Oh, well, we'll get to the Rams in a second. Colts at the Pack. Both teams coming off tough opening week losses. Indy's favorite on the road because Jordan Love is out. Malik Willis will be the quarterback for the Packers.
That's kind of scary.
Jets at the Titans. Two teams coming off of tough L's in week one. How about New York? Road favorites, I should say. 3.5 points there.
Levis. Which New York team?
Jets.
Okay. Now, Bob, back to Green Bay real quick. If I'm a fantasy and if I have Josh Jacobs, he's going to carry the ball a lot for the Packers. With Malik Willis at quarterback.
So we're saying that Reed and Dobbs and Watson and all those guys, their numbers are going to go down?
Oh, yeah, big time.
49ers at Vikings, the undefeated Vikings.
Oh, Sam Darnold. Played for the Niners, last year, right?
San Francisco laying 6. Seahawks at New England. Battle of undefeateds, everybody.
Oh, go ahead, get him, Mike McDonald.
Seattle road favorites, 3.5. Giants in Washington. Washington -1.5.
That's it?
That's it. Rookie quarterback.
Yeah.
Yeah, Eckler looks slow.
Yeah.
Whatever. They're going to win, I would think. Chargers at Panthers. Chargers -6.5 on the road, as we said. Browns at Jacksonville. Jacksonville -3. Raiders here. Ravens -9.5. Rams at Cardinals. Arizona -1.5. No Puka. He's on the IL. Steelers at Broncos. Pittsburgh -3. Cincy's at Kansas City. The Chiefs -6. Sunday night Bears at Houston. Houston -7. And then Monday Night Football, which we'll have plenty of time to talk about. Atlanta's at Philly. Philadelphia -6.5. So an interesting slate of games.
Yeah, I tell you what, Bob. If Cincy and Cleveland both have a good chance of losing again, you know, the division, if they both start 0-2 and Pittsburgh's probably going to be 2-0, division's not going to be... It's going to be the old Ravens-Steelers.
Well, unless the Ravens lose to the Raiders. Yeah, and, boy, what do you think we'll be talking about on Monday?
Oh, Fire Harbs is what the fans will be talking about.
We're back tomorrow. I won't be. Cordell's going to be in, and he's going to ride us all the way to championship victory, sports talk-wise. So stay tuned for that. I'll be back on Friday, but right now let's go to the Funhouse.
Quick Draws, Funhouse. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
Start with Howard in Baltimore, who says someone really needs to work with O'Hearn as of late. 2 out of his last 20, 1 walk, no RBIs in that span. Seems like he's just a pop-up machine at this point. A lot of players too caught up in swinging for the fences. Case in point, Adley Rutschman, who seems to swing so hard that he falls over sometimes.
Even Santander said after they lost the series to Tampa, we got to shorten the swing, start getting contact with men on base. And O'Hearn, a lot of ground balls the second, too. Hit a weak dribbler last night. Wound up getting on base, though, because he hustled. And that's one thing you can't take away from him. Somebody's got to start providing some run production to this team that's not the usual suspects. Somebody's got to get hot here. Cedric's gotten hot, which is great. But O'Hearn, Adley, who's next? Kowser, who's bringing the heat offensively to the equation to help out a little bit here?
This one here from Chris says, I'm not stressing the Orioles winning the division or not. Just get in. Recent history shows that a team like Texas, you don't have to play your best baseball. You get hot at the right time. It works out. The key for the Orioles has always been the injuries.
Yeah, that's why I say win the division, get those few days off,
yep,
and then opponent to be determined. Then who knows? Grayson, Westberg, Coulomb, and Webb are going to be back soon, it looks like. You know, they'll be as close to full strength as they've been in a long, long time. And those extra few days could help them immensely.
Another one on the O's. Texter says, Albert Suarez would get my vote for Orioles MVP. Every candidate has had their highs and lows. Gunnar, Burns, Santander all went through some sort of slump, while Suarez has done nothing but deliver when the team needs it most.
I don't know if he's the MVP of the team, but he might be the most valuable pitcher. I mean, Burns started the All-Star game. He was a Cy Young candidate, hit the skids there a little bit in August, had a really good start his last time out, got no run support. But Gunnar Henderson's the most valuable player of this team. Where would they be without him? And Tony Tater's probably second.
Last text here is on the Terps. Texter says, a not-so-little thing about the Maryland offense that I don't like has been play calling. Fourth and short situation, they run up the middle right into the teeth of the defense, which had been doing a good job of crashing down all day. Why not use your athletic quarterback and get to the outside?
Well, they didn't run the ball at all.
That's what I was just going to say. They got no yards rushing anyhow. So to think that you are going to be able to make a yard, well, I don't disagree. You got a big hammer quarterback. Put him in an option type situation.
Yeah, and Edwards didn't play all that great in the first half, but he's got better in the second half. That pick though was kind of
that and the missed field goal were both killers.
Yeah, Maryland, with all due respect to Michigan State, that was they beat themselves scenario for sure. And as you could tell earlier in the show, Damon Evans wasn't real happy about it. Not to the point where pink slips are being handed out, but still, that's a win you have to have. Now in week three at Virginia, you're in a must-win situation, because if they lose to Virginia, they better be, well, they'll beat Villanova, I would assume. Then Big Ten the rest of the way?
Yeah.
I mean, can they even get bowl eligible? Well, that becomes a question, I think.
Yeah, if you lose to Virginia, all of a sudden, when all the other teams are looking at their schedule, well, we got to beat Maryland.
It's Vinny at 81.057 The Fan. Again, Gordell's going to be in for me tomorrow. I will be back on Friday, but still plenty of awesomeness coming your way. Total request Thursday starting at 10 o'clock. Inside Access coming up next, followed by Baltimore Baseball Tonight, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts at 6 o'clock. Orioles trying to win the series tonight against the Red Sox at Fenway. For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Andy. Stay safe. Stay healthy. We'll talk to you when we talk to you. For now, class dismissed.
I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.